We on, Dave? Okay. So Mark's out this week, and I'm gonna fill in for one Sunday. So if you would turn with me to the Book of Genesis, chapter 1. So you turn on the news or you turn on any science programs these days, you hear scientists talking about making a trip to Mars. Of course, we've got NASA planning a trip to Mars, and there's movies about Mars and question we even have sent a spaceship to Mars and have delivered a Mars rover. It's a machine that, like a car, it's driving around the surface of Mars looking for water. Of course, they found some ice crystals on Mars, looking to see if there's just water out there. Is there water out in the universe that could sustain life? So, that's a question for today's lesson. Is there water in the universe out there somewhere that sustain life? Well, it's a pretty big universe, and my guess is, well, sure, out there somewhere. We know that there's comets flying through space that are supposed to be made up of big ice chunks. So, thought we should look, see what the Bible has to say. Help us answer, is there water? Is there any water out in the universe? Sounds like a silly question. There's more to this, as you might guess. There's more to the study than just trying to answer, is there water in the universe? I started off with that just to make a point. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's interesting, he says, the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What in the world is the deep? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, now we got waters. We know what water is. But what is deep? Darkness was upon the face of the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's almost as if it says upon the face of the deep and the face of the waters, as if those two are tied together or are the same. At this point in Scripture, we are kind of left guessing. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we'll skip down later. Light is created, but the sun and the moon are not created yet. So that's an interesting thought. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. At the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters bring forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply on the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. For time's sake, I'm going to stop there, because we know that God goes on and makes the beast in 26 and let us make man in our image. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus were the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So, some of you may have heard this before. But let's go back. Let's just compare real quick. Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven in the earth. Genesis 2:1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. What's the difference? Right. That's interesting concept. Interesting thought that there's heavens. So, okay. We say, well, in the beginning there was just heaven and earth. And during the creation time, God worked on a bunch of things. He set lights, and he set the sun and the moon and stars. And when it's all finished, now it's not just heaven, it's heavens, because he's done creating all that he has to create. Okay. Let's go back here. Trying to get a little bit clearer picture of the structure of the universe and what it really looks like. Back to verse 6. So in verse 2 it says, and the earth was without form and void. We could ask ourselves why, but that's another, it's a whole other study. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So we've got heaven and earth and water. In verse 6 it said, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. We see verse 8, God called the firmament heaven. What does that look like in the picture? First, I want to make an observation, or share with you an observation that I've made over the years. This is very simple. Go to fourth, fifth grade science class, we learned very basics. Later when you get into high school chemistry, you learn some more of the basics, but science class, general science class, and then physics class, we learned that everything in the universe is made up of molecules. What is a molecule made up of? Anybody remember? A molecule is a really very, very small particle. It's so small, you can't see it. You'd have to look at an electron microscope to see a molecule. Within that little molecule, there is a neutron. The neutron is right in the center. And there's revolving around this neutron is electrons. They're spinning around this neutron really, really, really super fast. And there's also protons. And they're spinning around and around and around and around this nucleus and this neutron really, really, really fast. Later in chemistry class, we learned that these electrons and protons some are at different radiuses. Some are outer shells. There's different levels spinning around this neutron. This whole thing is one molecule. And matter, as we know it, is comprised of millions and billions and trillions and countless molecules that are made up of neutrons, electrons, and protons. And that it takes energy for this to spin around and rotate. Now take that to a little bit bigger scale. Obviously it looks very much like the Earth. The Earth spins on an axis, but what is revolving around the Earth? We have the Moon that revolves around the Earth. We see that same principle with our son. It's got, what's the first one? Neptune. No. Mercury. Mercury, and Venus, and the Earth, and Mars, and Saturn, its rings, and Jupiter, and they're all rotating and revolving around our sun at different layers. Meanwhile, it's spinning on its own axis. You see this pattern over and over in the universe. And then even bigger yet, scientists have studied, if you've ever looked at pictures, of solar systems. Solar systems where you've got the galaxies, where you've got galaxies where you've got whole solar systems rotating. Ours is called the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is even part of a bigger scheme. See the picture? There is a pattern to the universe. But I see going from nuclear level or an atomic level clear up to the grandeur of God's creation. He has built that in round spheres. Pretty amazing. Just an observation. Can somebody tell me what Colossians 2:10 says? It's okay, you can look it up. Yes. Go ahead. Somebody, Trace, can you read it for me? Another, what's the next part? Okay, never mind, it's the wrong verse. Let's see if I can find it. Find the right verse. Yeah, that's the one. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I'm sorry for digressing, but this kind of stuff fascinates me. Down here talking about a proton. A neutron with protons and electrons spinning around in all these different rings we learned about in chemistry. The energy that takes to create and keep this piece spinning around and around is what makes me think of verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. When we look out and we see the universe and all that's created, and all the life and all the energy, the energy that keeps the earth spinning on its axis for thousands of years. What keeps it spinning? What keeps the whole thing in balance? What keeps the earth from just flying apart? It comes down to this level. It says, by him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the energy that keeps order in the universe. Okay, I'm done. Sorry for digressing. Now, back to Genesis. I did that to make a point. It says here in Genesis 1, talks about a firmament. Sorry, I gotta be really careful. The first 5 chapters of my Bible is falling out. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Verse 2 says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we know that there was, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven and earth. Very simple. What's wrong with this picture? Verse 7, it says here, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 7, God made the firmament. Of course, we know when we read it. Verse 8 says, and God called the firmament heaven. 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear also. Verse 6 says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God separated the waters. First thing he did was the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he separated the waters that were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. Now we've got Now we got this picture. He separated the waters. He created a firmament. You can't read that, but firmament. He separated the waters. Seven. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 25, we find out that the birds fly in the firmament of the heaven. That's the atmosphere that we're in, the air, the firmament of heaven. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So in the firmament, now remember, there's waters above the firmament and waters below the firmament. But there's birds in the firmament. There's also the sun, we know is the greater light. And the moon, that's the lesser light. Right? In the firmament of the heaven. Now we're getting a little bit better picture of this now. So this waters above and waters below. Why this is why I'm talking about. We said, is there water in the universe out there to sustain life? This is the original creation from Genesis 1. Verse 9 says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven, of course, heaven means firmament, singular, be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So now he takes the waters that are under the heaven. This water here, he gathers together in one place. Now, we know that all of our seas are connected together. But now we get waters and we get dry land. We know that all these seas are connected, but he separates the waters that are under the heaven, and the dry land appears. I'm just drawing this as I read it to get a better picture of how this is created. Okay, I don't want to belabor this anymore. So I want to make some more points looking at Scripture. Now it's interesting. It is interesting that by the time he's done creating mankind, the heaven, the earth is done, the dry lands appeared, the birds, the beasts, the whales, the stars, the moon, sun and the moon and the stars are all placed in the firmament of heaven. By the time he gets to Genesis 2, it's called, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. And all the host of them. Okay, now, remember all that thought. I am going to take a section of this, just draw a little section of this to help us understand. Now, it's kind of hard to fathom because we think of the universe, we don't think too much more about. We don't think too much more past Pluto. We think of our universe being our solar system. We know that there are millions of stars out there. You look in the sky, it's like those stars are suns. They're suns of other solar systems. The universe is absolutely gigantic. I'm going to draw a little section. I'm just going to draw the top of the Earth like this. Here's the Earth. And outside the earth is the firmament. Way, 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 way out here is the waters that are above the firmament. Okay. Turn with me to let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. All right. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year of captivity, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Okay. Look down to verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And in the midst of the light their appearance, they had the light of a man. And every four faces, and their feet were beaten, the soles of their feet were sparkled like the color of the spreads under their wings. On their side, they had their faces, and their wings joined to one another, and they turned not, and went everyone straight forward, as for side. Thus were their faces, and things were stretched upward. Two things, one going, went, was two went, and the light. Like the appearance of it when living creatures, fire came. And the living creatures as the appearance of light. Behold the living creatures. Behold one wheel of the living creatures, four faces. Appearance of the wheel and the dark light to the earth. Before had one likeness, appearance in the middle of. Talk about science fiction. This is a as for their ring, they were dread. And the rings full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures feel, living creatures the earth. The spirit was the spirit to the wheels were over against the wheel. When he stood, the wheels were up there, up over against us. For the spirit of the creature was in the wheel, in the lips of the firmament, of the crystal, stretched forth their head above. And under the and when they went, there was a noise of a host. When the firmament appeared, the throne man above it. Saw as the color of the appearance were on the within it, the appearance of even word, appearance in the brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. Fascinating, fascinating. Where were these creatures? In the firmament of heaven. They had wings, wheels, and they had rings. They were above the earth, and above the firmament was the terrible crystal. Verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, one toward the other. Okay. So you get a picture that they're flying in the firmament, and above them is this terrible crystal. Now you get the same picture over in Ezekiel chapter 10. For time's sake, we're not going to read it. Okay, turn. We've got just a few minutes left, not time to really do this justice. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Now, when we just read, it said above the there was an appearance as a talk of the three atmosphere in the third heaven, above the firm to the imagine here the rain. Oh, he which I come up with should be here in the throne. To look for inside, there was a throne, and about all four in the air proceeded through seven lamps before the spirit, before the glass, there spits, and were four beasts at the fourth, and each of his eyes, holy, and was in them. After six creatures, and there is the six, and traveling. In chapter, this is the mission. First, saw another sign of the last plagues, for the wrath of Boaz, the five victims, and the last God, his water, scripture, stand as it stands. On the news is the service of Lord Revelation. Great the day of judgment. Give ahead to the death of the after of the saw the first sea. Just read the direction of the ocean is the sea. There's no need for separation. It's interesting to me that this says in verse 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth instead of heavens. Turn with me to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Remember here in Revelation 21, he said, and I saw a new heaven. I think that this Christ, there's no more sea. There's no more need for a separation between this third heaven and the earth. During my studies, we're out of time, so I'm just going to conclude. But during my study of the Bible, it seemed to me that in the end, things are reverting back to the way they were in the beginning. God has taken his creation back to the way he was in Genesis. Read Revelation chapter 22. Talks about the river of water. Talks about the tree of life. Seems like he's restoring things back to the way they were, his original intent. Now, I'm stretching it, but I've got two more minutes. Turn with me to the book of Job. One more thing I wanted to share. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered to the Lord, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth the evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou move me against him to destroy him without cause. So here's two different instances. This is the picture I have in my mind. Satan comes from the earth up to the edge of the to the underside of the crystal sea and communicates with God. The sides of the north, I didn't really draw the north, true north. Then the sides, somewhere in the sides of the north is a mount of the congregation. We've got seraphims and cherubims and all kinds of host of heaven, angelic host. Mark's been talking about the time where Satan is going to be cast down to the earth during the tribulation. Tracy Plessinger did a Kim and Dillo study about Star Trek and the wormhole and so forth, and he talked about a verse in Psalm chapter 18, verse 9, where the heavens are being bowed down. I kind of get the impression that the heavens are going to be bowed down like this. I might be wrong. That's the illustration that I get. Okay. Instead of the universe being flat and folding over like a U-shape, I envision this sphere, God bowing this down so that he's got a passageway down to the earth. Okay. You guys might think I'm crazy, but that's all I've got for today. We're out of time.